Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post-Credit Scene podcast.
Computers, ole, ole. You might get a thingy, yeah? Champions League. Sick. Just making sure, man. I saw a thingy, I watched the Chelsea game, and they were mass celebrating, and I was like, why are you celebrating being in Champions League? And then I deeped it, they ain't been there for like 2-3 years. I was like, rah, that's crazy. They were proper like celebrating at the end. Okay, that's obviously, they've won Champions League since then, so that doesn't make any sense. Oh, yeah, cool.
We had the function. Baby girl, I wanna see you dance, wanna see you twirl. Oh, what a good song that is.
It's a banger, fam.
Did they play at Arisa Sland?
I think so.
What time did you get there?
Late, like.
Yeah, you people is quite disgusting, you know. I saw bare people just getting there like
5 or 6.
I'm like, what? You're there for like the day of Margate,
bro.
Yeah, got there at 6.
Is there any reason why you're there so late?
Last time that we went, we got there for like 4:35, and
it wasn't bubbling.
It wasn't bubbling, fam.
That's a bit late. I was just getting there.
I'd want to get there like 2.
Yeah, man. Do the rides and then vibe after.
Chat to John Deans and that. Not me, just talking generally, obviously.
Yeah, nah, to be fair, like, we still had fun on that, and then, you know, it was enough, to be fair, bro, like, I can't lie, man. But it was dope. Obviously, they've done this whole, like, DJ vibe now, innit? Whereas instead of, like, having, like, actual, like, acts and performers, it's like a bunch of DJs.
They had acts and performers, no?
They do, but it's like they minimized it, like, heavily.
I thought there's a lot more acts this time than it was previously.
Nah, there's just two. There's just 2 days.
Yesterday they had Shelly Poppy.
But they had like acts. They had acts on Saturday and Sunday.
No, on the Sunday they had. So the way that George said, he was like, "Oh, on the Sunday there's like more of a traditional Recess Land, so it's way more acts." And then on the Saturday it's like way more DJs. And then I went on Saturday. I think on the Saturday there was only like 2 people that like performed. I think it was like Valiant and Shy Cartier?
I don't know.
Bisola's friend.
She's cold, man.
Shout out to Bisto. She was on main stage, man.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, proper sick for her. Because I
guess so, yeah. I guess so.
Come on, man. She smashed it. And then she got angry at us because we missed our set.
Oh, you didn't miss much, though. I'm sure you didn't. I'm sure you didn't.
This is deep. She was getting lit up there, man. She was going crazy. But I saw some good people. I saw Mr. Charlie Mace trying to get my man on this pod full time, bro. This guy's busy, bruv. And then Alvin as well. Shout out to him. He gave some big love to the podcast, which is nice. But yeah, man, saw some cool people out there. It was cool.
So it was a good time.
It was okay. Like I don't think I would go again if I wasn't going squatted up, for sure. Like this time, we went like 2-man, and then we met with like a few girls out there, which was fun. But I don't know. It just wasn't the same as last time.
Probably weather didn't help.
And it wasn't that bad, you know. It rained for like 20 minutes.
No, not like you just want sun.
Facts.
I want sun if I'm going out, especially to like Seaside, Margate.
No, you're absolutely right. And I feel like
everyone looks better in the sun.
Yeah. If the sun was beaming
and the skin showing,
I would have considered going a lot more.
You would have seen skin.
Yeah, I would have felt joy. Like, I know what you're getting at. I would have felt joy.
Why would you have felt joy though?
Because the sun's out. It's different. It's a different vibe.
Is that the main reason though?
Yes, that is the main reason. Yeah.
Like, is that the only reason?
Are you trying to get to a specific question that you want to ask?
I'm asking would skin have made your day better?
Oh, yes, it would have.
Of course, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, do you know, like, I feel like there was a younger crowd this year, or maybe I'm just getting older.
Yeah, her Saturday was a lot more younger than Sunday.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm not lying. There's a bit of a young crowd. It was a bit kind of like, whoa. But it was fun though, bro. Like, it was fun. It was good. I'm looking forward to City Splash today because I turned it down last year. I just never think they have like a good like lineup.
What is City Splash?
Are you performing?
Huh?
Are you performing?
Me?
Yeah.
Nah, not me.
So what do you mean you turned it down?
Press tickets.
A little Jason-esque setup. Quicker though. What's quicker to the point?
No, but this one was cold, right? That was good storytelling.
No, I can't lie. I've never seen Jason do it before, ever, bro. That was top tier stuff.
Funniest thing he's ever said.
It's because he loves The Weeknd.
Yeah.
Yeah, he conjured
some magic. And
he spoke so like smoothly as well. That was a hilarious cut, bro. And the engagement was dope. People were laughing at that one still. Yeah, but yeah, no, City Splash is a, I think it's a festival in Brockwell Park, and it's like a culture. It started off as like a garage reggae thing, and I think now it's become like a, like an overall like black culture thing. So like the lineup today is like, I think Popcorn is headlining, Sasha Keeble, Miss Dynamite, all them guys basically, and then who else is there? Other people, man. But it's looking like TJ. You know, some dope artists, bro, so I'm looking forward to it.
Fair enough, man. Well, you guys have heard enough about our lives, and we're going to dive into other people's lives.
Liverpool! Sorry, I had to do it right now.
I think benched have got us covered for that, to be fair. I'm sure Bobby's got a lot to say in the coming episodes regarding Liverpool and their treatment of Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Did you pay £3 for that?
Wow, you're cussing that. Yeah,
you're really on one today, isn't it?
That's double. Don't know more, man. Don't
know who that is, bro.
We are the Post Credit Scene Podcast, a 14 HQ original, lovers of film, TV and theatre. We're here on a Monday morning, which is not like us, and it's super early. So we'll find the energy during the episode for sure, because, you know, we're taking time out of our bank holiday dedicated to The Last of Us Season 2 and the final episode of Season 2.
Yes, sir.
This was a series that I would say was highly esteemed based upon the first season,
mm-hmm.
based upon the love and sort of fandom for the game.
Yeah.
And there was a high anticipation for season two. It would have been one of the shows that people pinpointed as, oh, that's one we need to watch sort of for the year, alongside a host of other shows. Did you guys feel that way? Would you guys agree with that statement that you felt that way prior to season two?
Yes, no, I think. I think yes, in the sense of like this, as you said, season one was dope. So, you know, let's go for season two. But then obviously, no, if you played the game and then how there was a massive fall off in the second game. So not fall off, but just a massive people stopped engaging with the second game, you know, after a certain incident, which we're definitely going to get into. So people like his, who unfortunately are not here today, were a bit apprehensive of that second season. So yeah, I think it was a mixture, depending on if you're just an average consumer or if you have actually engaged with this, you know, a franchise for the past, what, 10 years.
Fair enough, Manny.
Yeah, definitely one of the most anticipated TV shows of the year.
HBO as well, no?
HBO.
Yeah.
And I think probably the most anticipated one.
Really?
A TV show, yeah. Like, the only other one I can think of is Severance. I can't think of Severance. But I would even say, like, in general, this was probably more anticipated than Severance before it came out, based on just the popularity of The Last of Us mm-hmm. and how well it did in the previous season. Yeah, most anticipated. We'll get into how we feel about this season. But yeah, I was really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Glad I got to watch it.
Yeah.
Okay, before we get into like this episode.
Yeah.
Because I think it's better to focus on the episode with a holistic view of the season. General thoughts on season two, like broad views without spoilers per se.
Meh. It's all right.
Rollercoaster is my term. I think it goes. I think it starts high. I think it dips really low, and I think it ends a bit more on a high. But yeah, I think it's just for difficulty of kind of like storytelling something that has a story, like, which sounds stupid, but it's just they're trying to stretch something out. Whereas really and truly, if they wanted to keep it like a limited series, and also not a series and do 2-3 seasons, then the story could have been told a lot more concise. But yeah, it was okay.
Fair enough. I'll go. I think the season's okay. I'd give it like a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
Give or take. Some highs, especially as was said at the start, I think the start is it, of it is really good. But I think that's to a fault as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which we'll get into. The previous episode was like a throwback episode. It was a callback to a moment in Joel and Ellie's life, a quite important period where we're seeing the sort of change in their relationship. I thought it was one of the stronger episodes of season two.
Yeah.
A lot of discussion has been around whether Ellie as a character, nothing to do with Bella Ramsey, which we'll get into because there's a lot of weird, twisted, unnecessary takes and behaviour towards her.
Fact.
Or them, sorry, shall I say? Do forgive me for the incorrection. That's a separate conversation. But there's been a lot of conversation. Is are characters like Ellie and Dina strong enough to carry an entire season?
Mm.
I think the episode with Joe and Ellie
could
add credence to that point around you just felt attached to the character of Joel and then his relationship with Ellie. And it was just, it felt like home.
Yeah.
It felt, that episode felt like I was back home. I was back in season one, a familiar time, a familiar character. And it gave us more sort of context towards their relationship. We always knew why Ellie was upset with him. She knew why she was upset with him.
Yeah.
But it took certain actions for her to really, like, I don't know, dive into that. Question for you first. Do you think Joel was justified in it with his actions in season one in saving Ellie at the cost of a cure?
No, Joel's not a good guy, fam.
That's not the question, though. Is he justified?
No, he definitely isn't. It's kind of hard to answer that question because what are you willing to do to save your loved ones? Are we justified to kill a whole hospital of armed men to save somebody that you love?
And doctors.
I'll get to that. Hence why I specifically said armed men. Or doctor, I'll get to that. Yeah, hospital full of armed men and women to save the one that you love at a chance of her of them killing her to potentially create a cure, but it's not like definitely going to happen. The fact that he killed a doctor, that's definitely unjustifiable because he killed an unarmed man that had his hands up. I was like, bro, like I'm just a doctor. Let me be.
And like five nurses.
He didn't kill the nurses.
He did.
Did he?
He did. He killed everyone. No, he didn't.
He didn't just kill the doctor.
He didn't. You're absolutely right, because the figure saying the nurses told Abby what he looked like.
What happened? What he looked like?
Yeah. You're right.
So to answer your question, the answer is no. If I'm considering the whole situation, absolutely not. Even killing, like, I get it. It's definitely more of a grey area because you're not doing it for your own sake, for the sake of actually being malice or being evil. You're doing it because you want to see somebody that you love, especially with him having lost his daughter in the way they did, because he wasn't able to save her.
Second chance.
Yeah, second chance, and he literally wanted to do anything to make sure that she was saved. So it's kind of hard, like, for me to say. He's definitely not justifiable, but I get it.
Could you argue, especially within the context of that world, which is like, it's not a normal world they're living in. They're living in a post-apocalyptic world and life. And it's not a colourful life. It's very grey area.
It's very much about survival.
Survival.
Yeah.
Kill or be killed sort of thing, right? And as you mentioned, his daughter, losing her, losing the woman that was alongside him. I can't remember her name from season one. But there was a woman that they were alongside.
Yeah.
She ended up getting caught by the infected as well.
Infected, yeah. Did infected lips though.
Yeah, that was a crazy scene.
Yeah.
The infected have actually evolved in season two, which is another conversation we'll get into.
Yeah, fine.
Scary shit, man. I can never say he's justified per se, but you can get it within somewhat the context of the world.
Yeah.
Do you think Ellie's sort of feelings towards him in season two, which have been bubbling under the surface, are justified?
Yeah, 100%.
In terms of I think she said something in episode six where she said, "You took the right from me to have a purpose."
Yeah.
Which I found quite, I don't know, I'd call it profound, I'd say, and also very interesting that she wants to be someone that sort of she never probably had a purpose before this period, and, you know, that was her opportunity to do so. Do you understand where she was coming from?
I completely get Ellie's point, because he did take the choice away from, even though the Fireflies were taking the choice away from Ellie herself, because she didn't know that she was going to be killed in terms of potentially create the cure, but Joel also took the choice away from Ellie, not necessarily from saving her, but from not telling the truth afterwards as well, by lying to her throughout all this time. Because I think she would have happily gave up her life with the potential of a cure being made, because she's been lost for quite a while. And even in the throwback episode that we get in episode six, there is like a picture of her, I can't remember what she wrote down, It's like, find your meaning. I think she wrote down, like, find your meaning, like, find what you're actually here on this earth for.
Do you know, I slightly disagree with you. I actually think, okay, at the moment that it was in season one, because don't forget she was 14, right? Mm-hmm. And then she ends up being 19, right? I think the maturity of who she was in season two and the growth is why she is why she had that, you know, that profound thinking. But I think at that point, the growth that we saw with her in season one, by the end of season one, okay, I generally think here that she would have been like, nah, fuck this, and then ran out. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, because she the whole point of season one was that she didn't care about anything. It's like she was just really trying to get from A to be, and then trying to find, you know, some enjoyment in what she was doing. And then, don't forget, before we got to hospital, she had that traumatic episode where she almost got, you know, R-worded and etc. with that guy in the burning building and blah blah blah. Okay, so she was going through a lot of trauma, bro. You know, at that time, and she just saved Joel. He was in that shed for like 2-3 days, right? I just don't think that she would have given up her life at that moment if she was told. I don't think she had the maturity to do so. And then obviously 5 years later, whatever, six years later, she's now saying, oh, you know, I could have had a purpose, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think the choice would have been made then by her.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of the issues that I have with season two, which you could kind of map out before seeing any of the episodes, and I've seen it with House of the Dragon as well. I've seen it with shows where, at a bare minimum, I would argue they should have 10 episodes in a season. And that's been, I guess, for the most part, over the last maybe 5 to 10 years, the general consensus or the general sort of way of working is 10 episodes. Whereas before that, you probably got like 13 and you would have got 24.
Yeah, facts.
With shows from back in the day. And we seem to be heading towards, with shows costing more, you know, actors and production and post-production and VFX, everything's costing more. Mm-hmm. I think we're seeing shows condense stories either to maximise profit, not profit, but, you know, the finances they have available to them, or to extend the season, which I think they're trying to do here. They're trying to make this like 4 seasons. I would argue, based upon what I know, this is like a 3-season story at a stretch. And I think with season two, you're seeing the second episode, which was incredible. I thought that was a great episode of TV.
Remind me the second episode.
This was when Jackson Wyoming gets attacked by the infected. Run up.
Yeah.
And obviously Joel dies.
Yeah.
There's no way, like 3 years ago, Joel dies in episode 2 of a series.
Mm-hmm.
Just based upon storytelling for an entire series. But when you're trying to condense a story into like 7 episodes, everything gets sort of pushed back. And I think episode 2 should have come much later on in the series.
That's just not how it works in the game, though, isn't
it? Again, I guess that kind of leans towards your point around transitioning the storytelling from a game into a series.
Yeah.
And I just think such a grandiose moment shouldn't come in your second episode. And again, it goes to the point, this feels so condensed. Everything feels like rushed and fast paced. We don't get to spend any or much time with the Jackson, Wyoming community, with I think her name's Maria, with Tommy, with their son that they have, with Jesse, who I think is a fucking great character. I think Jesse, played by Young Mazzino, great character, and I would have loved to have spent more time with him. I would have loved to have known more about him, and we get to see him and Dina's dynamic, but I would have loved to see more of that, more of his understanding of Ellie and Dina, how he was supposed to be, I guess, the next Maria, which he mentions in this episode. And you can see it in bits and pieces, but not enough for me to like feel very much invested in his character. The reason I was invested, because Young Mazzino's a great actor. What are your thoughts on, I guess, the pacing of season two?
Do you know, like, obviously, like, I hear what you're saying here, but do you know, like, a lot of what we get in Jackson, in the game, is just B-roll. Like, we don't get a lot of the community stuff. Like, we don't get...
My rebuttal
like,
to you, and I have to stop you and be
real, go ahead.
Is great TV shows for me, which I think they did with season one, can expand on what the game's already given you.
Yes, but don't you think they did that with... If you only saw, like, a budget B-roll in Fee Jackson. They built a whole, you know, town, a council. They built the prom night and sorry, not prom night, sorry, New Year's Eve night. Okay, that wasn't even in you know in the game.
It's in the game.
It's not. It's not thingy New Year's Eve. It's just a random party.
I know, but the whole thing is that. But beat for beat, the same thing happens.
Okay, cool. But like my thing was point is that they did what he's saying. Like they put things in place to expand what Jackson was. And I actually think that the Jackson part of it didn't bother me at all. Like we got to know enough people at the right time. The pacing for me was just after Joel's death. The next two episodes were so slow, and I get it. They're world building and blah, blah, blah. But I feel like they slowed it down so much that it got to the point where it was like, all right, cool, guys, like, we're not going to get to the point of the story that you thought we were going to get to. Like, I didn't think that it would end, like, the whole thing would end Seattle day three. Bro, they got there in day one in episode three, bro. Mm. Like, we had five more episodes. So it was like, for me, like, it just went up and down a lot. Obviously, episode two, there wasn't, you know, a war in Jackson, right?
That
you
was
know?
Great.
Really good. But again, like, they expanded on that. Do you know what I mean? Okay. So
my point is, that shouldn't have been a second episode. That doesn't make sense to me.
I don't mind that being a second. I don't mind Joel dying in the second episode. More so because they could have taken the route of showcasing the aftermath of what the death of Joel has impacted on Dina, on Ellie, on Jesse, on Tommy, and the whole community. And I think what they messed up on is that they didn't do what they did in season one, where they had episodes focused on individuals aside of Ellie. I think because the Joel thing feels irritating for it to happen so early on, is because they don't do a good job in pacing showcasing other characters on the back of it. Because now it just feels like we get to the high point of episode two, and now everything afterwards feels like it's not a downward spiral, but it just doesn't feel as enjoyable as character driven in comparison to what we saw in season one. So Joel dying in episode two makes sense because we had to get something to the point of Ellie wanting to have revenge, of the interaction of her and Dina even getting closer together, because we will not got that relationship if it wasn't for Joel's death. My issue is in how they've wrote everything that happened afterwards, because the Dina and Ellie relationship is dry and boring, in my opinion. It starts off really well on episode one, and even in episode two. When them two interact with each other. Is that episode two? No, that's the beginning of episode three, sorry. So episode one, literally episode one, is what I really enjoyed about Dina and Ellie.
That was fantastic.
Really, really enjoyed that. And then even when they were making the way into Seattle, I liked it, but then it just dragged quite a lot. And one thing that was really good about season one is that we got to see so many other characters.
Yeah.
And I think something that we mentioned about what season one is that this show is not necessarily about the fact that there are zombies or the fact that there's disease. It's about humanity and people as individuals.
Yeah, facts.
While this season just felt like it was way too much about Ellie and Dina, and way too much of them trying to within the theme of revenge throughout every single episode of season two, which that's what I felt like. Revenge begets revenge. I think that's what the whole point of season two was.
Point of the game, you could argue.
Yeah,
or the story as a whole.
Yeah, but with season one, we saw a bit more humanity within that. We saw a bit of a range in terms of emotion. We saw a bit of a range in terms of decision making. Well, this episode, everything is essentially about revenge. Everything is essentially about Ellie's need to kill Abby as a narrative pushing the story forward. And I think in most TV shows, that's fine. But I just don't think there's enough about the game itself in terms of the narrative and story writing for that to be the focus. They should have focused more on individual characters and their experiences within this world. Like, for example, Jeffrey's Wright character, what's his name? Isaac.
Isaac.
I feel like we could have got a bit more of him. Got a bit more of Maria and even her when she had the conversation about
immigration.
Her son, because the son ends up in the hospital and says, oh, it's in the air, and then he ends up becoming one of them. We could have had a bit more of the people within Seattle, or even the people that turned into a new religion. We could have had a bit more in terms of why some people,
the scars
moved on to that religion. I think that would have beefed up the season a bit more, and we would have got a bit more about the humanity. And then the Dina and the Ellie relationship and their story would have been a bit more enjoyable because it wouldn't be so stretched out, if that makes sense.
It was too much of a focus.
Yeah, way too much.
I saw someone say, okay, that it would have been dope if they'd done 10 eps, and then in episode 3, done a whole episode on Jesse and Dina, okay, to explore what they had, you know, prior to that. And then also doing an episode on the psychologist and her husband,
yeah,
you know, from the town around episode 6. Okay, like just that, because it, you know, it in the game that like weed house is actually you spend like a whole fucking hour there, right? But obviously when they leave Jackson for their patrol in episode 2, right, I think it's Joel goes with Tommy and Dina goes with Dina goes with Jesse, right? Yeah, and then Abby, she bumps into Joel and Tommy, and the showrunners, okay, said that they changed it so then a bunch of the relationships don't seem too paired, like Dina and Ellie. Also, Joel and Anthony, Tommy, they try to mix and match it so then you can see different types, but it just wasn't enough.
Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying? Or it was too obvious. But yeah, I absolutely agree, bro. I absolutely agree. But like, they did finally do that towards episode 6 or 7. I think it was 7, the one that we watched in a thingy.
Right?
Six. So like that flashback there, okay, and doing like a whole episode, okay, on just kind of like a storyline that's not directly connected to this storyline, okay, it worked really, really well.
Yeah.
But if they did that with, like, as you said, two other characters from somewhere else, it would have worked too, you know. Yeah. Just like Bill and John, right? Bill and Frank, yeah.
Was it easy for you to get back into the story of episode 7 following the Joel and Ellie episode in episode 6?
What do you mean easy?
That is a different story being told,
yeah,
in episode 6. Is I would even argue, because it's a different part of the timeline, it's a different like world in a sense.
Yeah.
So how easy was it for you to just get back into the story of, I think the episode opens, I can't even remember how the episode opens.
What, in 8?
In episode 7, this was the final episode.
Oh, sorry. Episode 7, it opens with Dina Hart.
With the arrow in her leg?
Yeah, arrow in her leg, yeah.
How easy was it if you just get back into that? Because it's not following like a literal narrative.
Not bad.
Linear story.
It wasn't okay.
It wasn't bad, but I was slightly confused because at the end of episode 5, when Ellie is fighting Nora, obviously she kills Nora, or not kills her, but she leaves her for dead, to asking about where Abby is. And then the last shot that we get at the end of episode 6 is Ellie standing outside the theatre in the rain. When I watched that episode, I thought that she was going to Abby. So when the episode opens up in episode 7 of Dina and Jesse, and then Ellie comes through the door, I was like, ain't she supposed to be with Abby? But that's just on me, not actually understanding it.
Yeah,
but you could argue point, part of the storytelling as well.
She didn't know where Abby was at that point.
Sure, but she said something.
She said wheel and whale.
I know, but for this next shot to be,
yeah, yeah,
her standing in the rain outside of somewhere,
yeah,
I would assume that they were connected from...
It was definitely a more like just cinematic...
Yeah, it looked great.
Shot. Yeah,
it looked great.
Shot,
so.
It was a sick shot.
But yeah, it wasn't that hard for me to... Get back into that part.
Took me a little while. Took me like a couple of minutes just to like get back into the story again and remember the main focus is now, because I love that episode so much.
Yeah, yeah,
that was, yeah. No, I hear you.
Refreshing episode, and it kind of.
I think you also love the dynamic between Ellie and Joel.
Yeah,
eventually,
and seeing actually her be able to, although what she did was fucking horrible
to Nora.
What she did to the psychologist.
Oh, she's
what she did.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. He's just as they're both just as bad.
I don't think what she did was bad, though.
I do.
Bro, she snaked him, fam.
No, it's not even...
No, not to him.
I don't think it's to him. I think it's... To her, obviously, brutal honesty, you could argue, is the best thing to do, but... I don't know, man.
Unnecessary.
Because it wasn't... It was out of spite. I don't think she did it.
I think it wasn't out of spite. It's one of, like, disappointments. Like,
why? Nah, bro. Bro, Jesse said, bro, all everything she does is for herself, and she paints it as oh, you know, it's because I love it, bro. Like, he's like, bro, everything you do is for yourself, bro. Like nothing, even her speech in the count.
All facts, all of that.
That was all for herself, bro.
I think in that moment, it was definitely more out of like disappointment, like watching your dad not be the man that you think
no,
he actually is.
But yes, but that's for herself,
she
though. That's
knew.
That's
she,
that's
and she no, that's, knew that's who he was.
And, yeah. and I think that was the breaking point, because throughout the whole day, she's like, I need to tell Joel so we can have this
facts.
Conversation. And she kept pushing back because she didn't know how to tackle it. But then her seeing that, okay, I hear it, that was more for, I don't think it was for...
You could argue there's a balancing.
Yeah,
actually,
I don't
more
think,
than one
of course.
Reason. I don't think she said it because she wanted to tell the truth to the psychologist, per
yes.
se. I think it's just more so, I know who you are. I don't respect you. I think that's what it was.
100%.
That was more of a conversation. But I get if you're looking at what was more for yourself. But I don't... Do I think it was
It's hard
bad?
To begrudge her as well.
Yeah.
And this
like,
is why that part of the story, I would argue, is like really good writing, because it leaves you in the duality of feeling of... Well, I can understand where you're coming from, but
yeah.
I don't necessarily agree with the way you approached it.
I wasn't too happy in terms of the blatant lie that Joel was telling to the psychologist in front of
everyone. Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. Crazy.
I didn't like that, because
for as in writing or his character and his actions.
His actions. I don't think the writing for it, because I don't think Joel would have done that. He wouldn't like.
Did it already.
Yeah, I know he's lied to Ellie.
Yeah,
like into her face, but that's to Ellie. He wouldn't like in his head. He's like, she doesn't know, and I'm protecting her from the truth. When he's lying to the psychologist, Ellie's standing right there, and he knows that Ellie knows that you're lying.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit surprised that you have allowed this situation to happen and just blatantly lying to this woman, knowing that Ellie knows that you're telling the truth. So you're
knowing who Ellie is.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't like that writing, because I don't think Joel would have done that. I don't think Joel would have lied to that extent in front of Ellie, knowing that Ellie knows the truth.
I hear that point. I like the writing in the sense of where you have Ellie caught in the decision of what to do.
Yeah.
You have the situation where her husband has turned or is turning into the infected, and that duality of, oh, do I give him one more chance to say goodbye? Do I not? Which, again,
that I liked.
It's understandable. It's a difficult situation to be in, and it's the complexities of that like warped world that they're living in.
He also did the husband. He did obviously, you know, in the game, he wants to go say bye because obviously he wants to tell her about the weed farm. Because you know, that's his theme weed farm in episode 2.
Yeah.
So like he says to the same Joel, I've got to tell her stuff. Like there's stuff that she doesn't know. Do you know what I mean? Okay, and it was just like it was that as well. But yeah,
what do you make of the love story, Jesse, Dina, and Ellie in this episode?
Boring, bro. I can't lie. The Ellie and Dina. Boring, bro.
As you said before, because it's been elongated, I guess.
Yeah, and I just don't care for writing for it. I'll be honest, I don't care.
Like until New Year's Eve, it was calm, right?
Just the first episode,
first start of second one, right? Because obviously, you know,
I like the dynamics.
Cool.
I really enjoy
so that. When what you don't like is the 3 month gap where she goes back with Jesse. Did you get me? And then breaks up with him in that time, and then gets fucking.
I'm assuming them two chopped before New Year's.
Who?
Jesse and
Yeah. But she got back with Jesse when Ellie was in the hospital, right?
Are you sure?
That's how she got a thingy, bro, pregnant.
But I think she might have been pregnant before that.
She's not she's not 5 months pregnant, bro.
How long would they wait for? 3 months, no?
Yeah.
Exactly, so she's 3 months pregnant.
Wait, who?
How pregnant do you think she is?
It's not really ever...
Like 2 months?
Yeah, it's never really...
But it's, nothing's there, innit?
I know, but I think she's like 3 months pregnant.
So, yeah, but... okay, cool. So then you're saying that they... This was such a weird conversation.
They chopped
prior to New Year's.
Yeah, because they were together.
Huh?
Yeah, because they were together.
No. Of course, I think they'll say
they go back
I
together think, after that.
Yes, and they chopped in that period.
Okay.
And then when she found out that she's pregnant, because I don't know about you guys. I didn't know this, okay, until the last episode, episode 7. I thought Jesse knew.
No, but Dina just found out she was pregnant.
When?
She found out, like, on
the episode. Oh, you're right, you're right. Yeah. Sorry. I'm bugging. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But, like, yeah, because of that, I genuinely think that they got the girlfriend was saying back together, which she explains in the tent on the first night, but they dip, okay? And then, because obviously fucking Eddie's like, yo, you know, why did you, you know, go back, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they start having that convo. But I think that it just confused me. Their free thingy confused the fuck out of me. Even now, with the final episode, Jesse being like, that's my kid. Yeah, da, 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 da. Everything is still baffles me.
It doesn't matter for me. I just don't like it. I just don't care for it.
In episode two, after they kiss, right, he goes to pick up Ellie and then says to her, "Oh my god, you kissed my girl," and she's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And they're like, "Nah."
Yeah, I don't think he actually like. He obviously likes Dina, and even says, "I love Dina, but not the way that you do." He obviously cares about Dina quite a lot, but he doesn't love her in that way, because hence why you mentioned that
other girl that
came for like two weeks. Like, obviously he has that level of relationship with that babe, but not with Dina.
And I think,
do you like,
I'm not saying I would have wanted to have seen that, I just would have liked to have got
that
more
cool
of
story,
Jesse.
Oh, yeah,
as
yeah.
a whole, that doesn't have to be the one thing
I
you get about
Jesse, more
Jesse, but
bro.
I would have loved to have seen more about his character.
Yo, that story. Actor, by the way, fantastic.
Young Mazzino, yeah, he's superb. He was in
fantastic, bro.
He was in Beef.
Oh yeah.
He was probably my favourite performer of the season.
Not mad at you.
He's probably my favorite performer.
Oh, that is a fantastic.
Yeah, not mad.
No.
Within the context of what he was given.
If I can,
I actually like Dina.
If I can draw.
Isabella Merced is super talented. I think in the first episode, crazy charismatic.
Sorry. I'm gonna complain about Bella. I think they're cold actor. Even in season one,
yeah,
really enjoyed it. This season, very disappointed. Very disappointed in terms of they being able to carry the season as the lead. The scene that really nailed it for me was when she was having that conversation with when they were having a conversation with Jesse right in this episode.
Episode seven.
On the roof.
Yeah.
And Jesse was like, "You're selfish," or not selfish, but "You only think about yourself." And in that moment, I should have felt something with their reply. I felt nothing. I didn't, like, it didn't move me. And I think I felt like that throughout the season on their performance. And because there's a section, mostly men, that will speak about Bella some type of way, and I can't stand it. And I would never want to agree with any negativity that they have to say. But I just didn't enjoy her performance this season.
But I think, guys, said earlier, I think like the writing, she was written very monotoned. Okay, do you know what I mean? Like
kind of one dimensional.
Like, yeah, but like the two episodes, okay, where I think that she had like, they had like really good moments. Okay, was the episode where Bella, where Joel has died and she's
at the
out
end.
Of
the at the end was tough, man.
Hospital. Yeah, that was like insane. But then also where she goes back to the house, sorry, and you know, goes through that whole house, and you know, and she's, and I think somebody walks in, is it Dina or somebody, but that first conversation outside the hospital was super emotional. But then also the conversation with Nora was mad. Like,
I like that scene.
That conversation with Nora in there, bro, was in intense.
Episode five?
And when Nora goes, he killed everyone. And she's like,
I know.
I was like, god damn. But like, that was
cool. Should have hit me more.
Yeah?
It should have hit me more, man.
I hear you.
I think she had some highlights, and I think there was moments where the writing didn't, like, I don't know. As I said, a bit one-dimensional. I think I really enjoyed her in parts of episode three as well. It's the Dina relationship. There was too much of it. It was a bit too one note.
Do you think Dina was? Do you think Dina was too dynamic for Ellie's
that should
character?
Work, you could argue, because they're at polar opposites character-wise. You could argue that could and should work. We've seen that before.
Yeah, but the whole of season one, it was almost that she was Dina, and Joel was her, right? Because he was
supposed to be quite stoic, and
yeah. And then obviously towards the end it shifts like a little bit anyway, right? So I don't know. I think because we saw a different Ellie for this whole season.
Yeah.
Right. That we just weren't expecting. I thought she would be like that for like 3 episodes and then cool. And then, like, you know, I thought after that she'd be a bit more dynamic or something, but she just wasn't. She just never left the same level for some episodes.
Has Ellie been written to be unlikable in season two?
I think in the game though, like you play as Abby for a long time of it, bro. Do you get me? So in theory, you disconnect from Ellie, you know. And so,
but that's going to be season three's story.
Yes, but and I thought, because obviously, like when you kill Joel, or sorry, when Joel dies, for like a lot of them after that, okay, you live through Joel through like the flashbacks and everything and blah, blah, blah. We didn't get much of that. And I actually think, yeah, that the Last of Us, I think they do, I'm saying this, okay, the best flashbacks in TV history. Like the stories that they tell just in that is incredible.
Or isolated stories, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're incredible. So I don't get why the moment that, you know, he dies, queue up a bunch of them. And then maybe we wouldn't feel as disconnected with Ellie as we do, right? Because in the game, he still feels like he's a part of our life, even though he's not. So I think like she just wasn't, again, I don't want to sound fucking negative because she's a great actor, so they are, but like I think that she just wasn't like charismatic enough to hold this series in any sense.
But with Ellie as a character, I think one of the issues is you can be 40. So I spoke about this with Your Friends and Neighbours, which is a completely different show, completely different contextually. Mm-hmm. Some of those characters are fucking super unlikable.
Yeah.
But what I like about the series is you can still somewhat like root for them despite how bad they are. And I kind of found it harder to root for Ellie as the series went on, because it kind of got to a point where some of her actions were too far to the point of being selfish.
Well, did you...
Like, for example, just a quick one.
Yeah, go.
The scene with Jesse. And Jesse was like, Tommy, your uncle, quote-unquote, quotation marks, is in trouble and we need to save him. And her thing is, no, I need to go and get Abby and get revenge for Joel.
Yeah.
Rather than saving the last remaining family members that I have alive, I'm going to go and seek revenge because I went through something traumatic when I saw him get killed. And I'm like, your uncle needs you, Jesse needs you, and you decided to do the selfish thing for your sake to go and get revenge. And
well, she done the same thing in the episode prior, right? When the Scars were attacking and they shot Dina and stuff and etc. And then Jesse was like, yo, go around and meet us at the theatre. And then she's like, nope, and we'll go and, you know,
find Abby
and stuff, and does the exact same thing. But I absolutely agree with you, yeah, but it confused the hell out of me when she made the whole speech about it was easy to do that to feed Nora and make her talk and da 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 da. It was like a whole thing, and Nora was one of the girls there, okay, that wasn't really on like killing her. She was on like finding Joel, but she wasn't really on it, okay. And then obviously in episode 7, I was like, she's gonna shoot this man straight up, she doesn't care. But there was a bit of like empathy, and she said to you like I'm not like you, Brody.
I think
20 minutes ago you just said that it was easy to torture somebody to get that information.
I think the difference with Nora, two things, is one, the first one is that Nora said that Joel deserved it. She said that Joel deserved it before she ran off. And two, she done that in the midst of just getting confirmation that of what Joel actually did, because she wasn't. Because I think when she tells Dina, she didn't know it was them, because she knew what Joel did, but he didn't know it was them that he did it to when he has a conversation with Dina. So I think there's a lot more remorse after the fact of Nora. Because of her, of Nora, once first saying that Joel deserved it, and two, it not really computing, because she was still in an anger state when she actually knew that the reason why them lot were after Joel. And then when she has a conversation with Dina, tells them, I didn't know, I knew what Joel did, but I didn't know this is why Joel died. So I get why there's a lot more remorse.
And like, I would have liked to have seen that growth. not in 20 minutes.
Not in 20 minutes.
Yeah, sure. Like, I would like to see that.
That's kind of what we've all been saying, though, about
yeah.
The Seraphites and religion and cults, I just feel like it was a waste of time. And not because it's not...
I like him as well, you know.
Not because it's not worth telling a story.
Yeah. Didn't tell it enough.
Bro, Jeffrey Wright, that
what
that,
a waste, what that, waste of an actor?
Yeah. Bro, that freaking episode where he was...
Oh, the opening episode where he's with...
Bro!
Yeah.
Cold.
Yeah.
Cold.
But one thing that I'll say about all of that, it kind of has got me excited for season 3.
Yeah.
Because I would like to assume they're going to explore that a lot more. And I think a lot of the stuff that I've been frustrated or annoyed about this season, in comparison to season 1 that they've done really well, I would like to think they're going to bring back a lot of that in season 3. I think they just messed up in making it 2 separate seasons. They could have just made it 1 long season, but I didn't know that.
Do you think like, because obviously, like, you know how you said that you didn't want Joel's death so early, mm-hmm. and I'm actually glad they done it early, because of my original point, obviously, that in the game it kind of happens, you know, pretty quickly. And I feel like that was something that a lot of users or like a lot of people were just like waiting for, and it's like let's deal with this now so we can explore like a wider story. Because if they stretched out, okay, until the end, or like episode 5 or 6 or, you know, what cool, then the season becomes about Joel's death, even though it is, but it's more about obviously Abby and Ellie's thingy revenge, right? And so
Joel's death. It's not just Joel, it's the grandiose nature of that episode.
Yeah.
It's the Game of Thrones hard home esque, where like this home has been invaded and I've just got to know this world. Just spent time with Jackson and this new world where they've got this council and they've got ways of doing things. He's got the homophobic chef or the bar guy, and get to know his character. No, I don't actually care about him, but per se, but just the world. And that episode was so like huge in scale.
Mm.
The invasion was mad when mm-hmm. you think about it. That big bloater.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think that's a scene in the game, right?
That's the first time we've seen him win, by the way. In 2 seasons, that's the first time where like a bunch of infected have gone somewhere, like a horde, sorry, and we've seen them win. We saw it twice in season 1. The second time in that town where they were trying to dip, where they were looking for the black kid.
Oh.
And then the horde
good episode that
came out, finessed everybody, fam. Do you get me? Like we've seen them get away from like a couple man, but like hordes, never. And they actually won. Insane.
But yeah, the Seraphites just felt like a waste of time. The scene where Ellie gets caught in episode 7,
that
was just a waste of my time. She got caught, she escaped, and she went back to the theater place. And I was like, well, that was just a waste of like 5 minutes of my time. I didn't need to see that scene. Like, the kid was supposed to like what, save her or something, which you'd think, I don't know, he's a kid, but he was like, he did something like that, right? Was it that or
wait? What episode was this?
He done that?
Yeah.
The episode just happened just now. When she gets on a speedboat, she tries to go to the whale thing. She got caught in a tidal wave, ends up on an island. The little kid sees her.
Oh, so yeah.
That's,
and then she gets. Look, they were gonna hang her, and then
leave her.
And then the village gets attacked, and she gets freed. It's like, well,
bro,
I just didn't need that scene.
But isn't that set up for why she's still empathetic towards them?
And for the next season,
correct.
And oh, but then that's story that not everyone knows.
Oh, there you go. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I think that's context because, that you might have that other people
because
might
there's know. Basically in the game that there's like a section of scars which obviously we actually our first introduction to the Seraphites are the nice ones. It was the ones that were on the trail in episode 3
and they get killed.
Yes, okay, they're the ones. Okay, and he even explains it. Okay, that like not everybody that believes in her, whoever her is, you know, like
it's an evil piece of shit.
So they were trying to get away from their Seraphites just so they can obviously, you know, go live, you know, normal lives, blah, 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 blah. So that was them, I think, the show writing in that, like, these are actually, like they're...
Just like with all religions, you have good...
Good, and bad, yeah, I'm bad. But in the game, 80% of them are, like, mad, murderers, bro, and they're strong and they kill like easily and blah blah blah. And it's a whole thing, okay? Because obviously you've got to make them look like they're wavy because they're playing against like people with like guns and shit like that. So so they're very tactical. There's like a lot of them, you know. And I think in season three, okay, you're gonna see like how the size of that community. Do you know what I mean? Whereas so I think it's super important that they've obviously, like you said, that they set up Ellie as they can be her potential allies in whatever this is, you know, because they have a shared goal, which is bang.
Ellie finds Owen and Mel.
Mm-hmm. Is Owen with Mel?
What do you mean by with?
Like, is he just a bit hurt?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Like, from...
Could make sense.
What we got from the first episode and episode two, it made it seem like it was more Owen and Abby.
Owen and Abby, yeah.
But I don't know if I don't think they confirmed anything in terms of who the actual
brother
is. Hey,
man, sometimes niggas wanna chop a 1-2-3.
Yeah. I think Owen and Abby might be siblings, you know?
Then that would be weird for me saying that they chop.
They're not. How are they siblings? That means the dad was a doctor. Both of the dad was a doctor. I don't think that's the case.
No, you're right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're all in the same enclosed environment.
Yeah. Who knows? Bro? I don't think
you need skin on skin.
Yeah.
But yeah, the scene. Did you guys feel the sort of, not grand nature, but the emotive aspects of this scene where Abby wants to find a location? Oh, Ellie wants to find the location of Abby.
Yeah.
Owen seemingly knows whereabouts she could be.
Yeah.
By the way, we'll talk about Abby in a second. John Wick.
I like already, I can't lie to you.
Did you feel the emotive nature of like Ellie obviously did it in self-defense because Owen pulled up the swizzy, do you know what I'm saying? And Ellie's done it in self-defense, but did you feel the emotive nature of these, obviously the reveal of Mel being pregnant?
Yeah.
By the way, the foreshadowing, because
Dina,
no, Ellie asked Jesse for extra 9 mil. And that's why it went through both of them.
Okay.
Do you remember? Because okay. Yeah. it's like super long. And it just went choop, choop.
As in the bullet is super long.
Yeah. And it went through his neck, which is the thinnest part of your femur, of your bod. It's nuts, bro.
I didn't realise she got initially, but you might have known because you've played the game. I ain't got to that part of the game.
No, I didn't either.
Did you feel the emotive nature, though? Of
her? I did. I as crazy as it sounds, I like the fact that that Mel was pregnant because it kind of like ties it around in terms of, again, one thing that I liked about the season was that it was essentially like revenge begets revenge, or violence begets violence, however you want to call it. And the fact that Ellie's whole thing, even what she was saying to Jesse, was like, you let a kid get killed because he wasn't part of your community, and I hear you stand because you wanted revenge so badly that you ended up killing a pregnant woman and essentially a child, and you were even unable to rescue the child when she was giving you instructions.
Oh, that's tough though. That last one.
I mean, I'm not saying that. Oh, you should. Okay.
But
obviously,
a child dies.
Yeah, the child dies. Like,
I do think that Mel was being a bit grander there, though. Like, you know, I don't.
She was dying.
No, facts, obviously. But I'm saying, like, Ellie wouldn't have even been able to do... I don't think that a doctor would have been able to save her at that point. She said, I've got 30 seconds. Brother!
No, she didn't want to be saved.
She's not a goat, fam.
She didn't want to be saved. She wanted to save the baby.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think that any doctor would...
I think you could have just...
In 30 seconds, bro!
I think she had 30 seconds. I don't think when she dies, the baby dies automatically. But she just...
I don't know for science.
Ellie could have done... But she's not...
You're not judging her based upon...
I'm not judging her based on that. It's just like...
It's more the revenge aspect.
Yeah, just more like... It's a nice, natively written, like, loop in terms of you getting onto Jesse in terms of him not helping somebody... helping out a kid because he's not part of the community. What you and Dina saw at the beginning of season... two, when they were walking towards Seattle, they see all of their people and they see a child there, and it's the whole thing about, and Dina also being pregnant, and the whole thing about we have to protect like kids and all that.
Yeah.
And then for you to actually kill a child because that baby was due to pop out any minute. you actually killing a child kind of just adds to the cycle of what Ellie's actually doing.
Yeah, it's insane.
I don't know how that's going to affect her narratively, but I think it's. I like that.
Also, seemed like a bit of a callback to the final episode of season one. Don't know if you guys remember, but the opening of the episode is her mum saving her. She was pregnant.
Yeah.
And the infected chases her mum throughout that little village. She pops into like a house.
Into a house, yeah.
And she obviously manages to kill the infected and
save Ellie. Infected, yeah.
I think she ends up getting killed by the infected or captured by the infected or whatever.
I think she kills herself. She gets.
She gets bit.
And I think obviously that's why. I'm assuming that's why Ellie
has the cure.
Is immune because is she immune has cure, yeah. The blood of the infected within her.
She has the cordyceps.
So yeah, I thought that aspect of the episode was good writing, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, yeah, same.
Abby, man, John Wick, Batman, prep time. She's just there.
Do you know what's funny? Yeah, I actually didn't like her in the first two episodes. Okay,
I don't think you're meant to.
Yeah, no, not like that. Okay, because obviously, like you know. As you guys probably know, okay, like in the game, when she does what she does, okay, there was 1.2 million users across the world because they make you play as Abby like straight away,
yeah,
okay, that were trying to as her, which is hilarious, by the way. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah,
they were sending death threats to the voice actor that did Abby,
which is insane,
bro.
But crazy
stuff
in the game. They build Abby's story up so. Like, they make you almost feel bad for her, okay? But, like, they build a lot of her story. We only got one flashback, or not even flashback, like a nightmare of her dad and stuff, you know, where...
Is that the start of episode two?
Correct, yes. You know, but, like, in the game, they build a lot more of who she is and what she stands for and what she's gone through. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, like a lot more. So at the start, I didn't feel like I fell in love with the writing for her. But I know we only got to see her like a little bit. Yeah, like, but she was cold, man.
Caitlin Dever's the actor, I think. Do you think she's done a good job with the bare minimum she's had in season?
Very.
For sure.
I think what I like the most about her is that how she interacts with different characters and how different it is.
Yeah.
Like her interaction with her group of people, essentially being, I'm the leader, taking that level of responsibility and everybody kind of looking towards her for decision making, but also still kind of being like a frightened child to an extent. Like even when she first interacts with Joel and she's like, obviously she's running away from the... what are they called?
I'm just call them infected.
They're infected. Oh, they don't call them zombies, isn't it?
They call them cordyceps, no? No, just infected, yeah.
Yeah, right, running from the infected. It's just how vulnerable she can be in her role, but also the switch that she made when she first got into the cabin from somebody that was kind of cold, vulnerable, kind of afraid, and then she's like, oh, that's Joel. And then just the way that her performance just completely switched, her character, her demeanor. I really like her performance. I really like her as an actor. It makes me excited for season three.
There you go. Yeah,
it makes me excited for season three.
Nice.
And also, like, again, it goes back to the point we made just with Ellie. The point we made about when does revenge driving you become a step too far? Because it also then costs Jesse his life.
Ah.
Because Abby's only following or gone back to where Ellie is because she's killed Mel, the baby, and Owen.
Yeah.
Again, the cycle of, like, revenge, how far can you go until it's too far? Which I think has been a recurring theme of.
But season. You said, bro, like, it's a doggy dog world there, bro. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's be or be killed. Sorry, kill or be killed. It's insane. Like, you know, there's no like laws.
But her seeking revenge for Joel's death
didn't need to happen.
Leads towards Jesse, leads towards Mel, leads towards Owen, leads to three people losing their life.
Correct.
Don't get me wrong, somewhat understandable. Your father figure, at least, has been taken from your life. Someone that was there for you when you were 14 years of age. But it's cost other people their lives.
I'm assuming that Dina shot at Abby, right?
No. Why would you assume that?
And in that last scene where it goes,
pop. Oh, yeah. I don't think Ellie's dead.
Yeah, same, obviously. Yeah,
yeah. So I'm assuming it was Dina Danatin.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
But someone's walking in.
Don't know. Season, let's wrap up with some just overall season two thoughts then. Were there any particular highlights other than episode two, which I think we've discussed enough maybe? Any other highlights for you? I thought episode Catherine O'Hara was great in the moments that we got her.
The psychologist.
She was dope.
I thought she was super. Love some of her like witty, sharp one-liners and quippy jokes. I thought she was great.
Yeah. The scene with
clearly like jaded by the world, but also still very much funny and interesting to get to know.
Yeah.
I thought she was great. As you mentioned, I thought Isabella Merced was great for the most part, especially early on.
Yeah.
Her relationship with Bella Ramsey's character, Ellie, was really enjoyable. I can't really fault the acting per se. I thought Tommy, great character.
Really good.
I would have loved to have seen more of him and the world, but season two just felt, it's weird. It felt rushed and it also felt slow.
Yeah. I think my complaint about the acting is just more so, I just don't think, maybe it's more the writing, but Ellie's character and Dina's dynamic should have been the thing that we spent most time on throughout the season.
You say shouldn't.
It shouldn't have been the thing we spent the most time throughout the season.
No, it can be, but you need to flush out other stories.
Yeah.
That can be your main focus to an extent, but...
As in, that could be the focus in terms of pushing the narrative forward, because it was their action that got us to Seattle. Mm. It was their action together, so on and so forth. That's fine. But for, like, I don't think we should have had them for so much time on the screen, just because one, they didn't do enough. Like, there's not that many, like, for the amount of time that they spent together, there's not that many, like, big moments that we had together. Not necessarily like that to be explosive, but just even narratively speaking, like a lot of the time it wasn't that important to the overall story, apart from to when they get to the point that they get to. And also just the dynamics in terms of like the acting together past episode two, I don't think it was that enjoyable for me. It wasn't the worst, it wasn't bad, it just wasn't what I needed for the leads of a whole season. But overall, I think the season was okay. Again, episode two is probably the biggest highlight. The character that plays Abby, really enjoyed. Caitlin, thank you. Really enjoyed which was, and obviously Jesse as well, is probably my favourite performer throughout the season.
Young Mazzino, man.
Do you know what scene, random scene that I really, really enjoyed? It was after the invasion, and I think it was during the rebuild, and we had Jesse and Tommy working together. We had Jesse shoveling some stuff, and we had Tommy like trying to hammer down some wood,
and he couldn't do it.
And Tommy was struggling, and they look at each other, and then essentially like agree to switch, because it just showed the growth of Jesse as a character. Because I know they'll position him to become like the leader of
Alex Maria
of Jackson. I just really enjoyed that scene. It felt like passing on to the old coach. Passing on the torch as well. Yeah, sorry. I really, that even though it's such a little minor scene, I feel like the scene showed a lot more character than most of the season, in my opinion.
I think something that they could have changed in the writing for it is just the ages of like everybody. You know, obviously people complained that Bella didn't look like she aged at all, and obviously she's supposed to significantly age in the game. When we first meet Joel, he's 36, and then in the first jump he even goes to like 42 or something, or you know, so whatever, something same like that. I think by the end of season one he's 56 or some dumb number. Okay, do you know what I'm saying? And so he's almost like 60 by the time we get to season two.
If he starts the game at 36, he should be 60 by now.
Yeah. So like, brother is old, fam. Do you get me? Like, brother is old. So like, I think like they should have just changed that writing of it, or like the aging of it. Okay, do you know what I mean? Whereas I get it, because there's so many huge jumps, but I would have started him younger. That's all, as like a young single dad, you know, type vibe. So that's something that I struggled with in season two as well, just because obviously with Bella, you know, exploring her teenageness and her, you know, her sexuality etc. Like, that was all cool, but it just aesthetically, it looked like she was still this 14-year-old.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? So it was
that scene, yeah.
So it was tough, bro.
That scene when he walks in, yeah.
Yeah.
She was getting a tattoo, and he thought she was chopping. That was great.
Yeah. No, she was fooling around.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, she first was getting to do, then she was fooling around.
Oh, these days, isn't it? Yeah. That was still great.
Yeah, but like, yeah, like tapped. But yeah, so, but like, you know, overall, like Manny said, and yourself, guys, good season. It was okay, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't great. It wasn't better than season one, for sure. I think season one spread a lot more stories while still making the main story the foundation,
yeah,
you know, which is obviously what we want and, you know, what we love. I do think that the purpose of the season got lost because they were trying to stretch out for season three. So maybe we'll refine that purpose again, you know. But I did like aspects of the season. Do you know what I mean?
No, okay.
Also, I just want to give a huge shout out. Okay, like, I think, like, visually it was fantastic. I think looked brilliant. All right, and I think, like, all of the nostalgia bits that they had with the infected, you know, and obviously, you know, with the pre. Affected stuff, super dope. The, you know, the books.
They're pretty sure they built the set for Jackson as well, which is super cool.
That is incredible, bro. Okay, but yeah, like, I just think all of the stuff that showed us, you know, like the time was great. But yeah, just the pacing was off for me. It dipped mid season and then picked back up towards the end, but not as high as season one and two for sure. Sorry, episode one and two. Yeah.
Well. That is our wrap up for The Last of Us Season 2. We're going to be back in the studio soon for a lot more episodes to come, especially summer. It's going to be big blockbuster season. TV shows are always on the rollout as well. So make sure that you follow us on all socials. We are the Post Credit Scene Podcast. We're on TikTok, Post Credit Scene Podcast. We're on Instagram, Post Credit Scene. YouTube, make sure to comment, like, subscribe. If you've enjoyed the episode, give us some authentic thoughts on what we're doing. Give us some thoughts on what you like. From us as for well sure. If you'd like to hear more anime from Manny, give us a shout. If you'd like to get more Star Wars and Marvel deep dives, this guy might be your guy. Make sure to follow us on all socials though. So really, really good content on the rollout. And that's us, over and out.
Peace.
Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch and you are listening to the Post Credit Scene Podcast.